All right, tonight in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at one verse, verse 16. Notice in verse 16, 17 and 18, we won't be looking at those two verses, but just relatively short verses. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. These are things that are to be constant in the believer's life. Tonight we want to look just at this first one. Someone said this is the shortest verse in the Bible, rejoice evermore. Usually we would say that John 11:35 is the shortest, Jesus wept. But apparently in the Greek, this one's actually a shorter. So you can take it which way you like. You can have Jesus wept as the shortest, or you can go for the Greek and go, this one is the shortest. But as the person said, this is the shortest verse in the Bible, and it's the hardest one to keep. He said, it might be the shortest, but it's the hardest one to keep. Rejoice evermore. The idea of evermore is rejoice always, rejoice at all times, rejoice under all circumstances. Rejoice. You understand why he says this is one of the hard ones, or the hardest one perhaps to keep. It's interesting, the Bible has much to say about rejoicing and joy. And I want to look at some verses in the Psalms, first of all, and there are many we could look at tonight, but just to pick out a few. Not just in the Psalms, but I've chosen to look there tonight. Psalm 5, the first one we want to look at. Being a command, then we need to understand what that command's about and why and various aspects of it. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice at all times, always. And so Psalm 5, we notice in verse 11 and 12, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou wilt bless the righteous with favour, thou compassest him as with a shield. And so the psalm writer says that we are to rejoice, we are to shout for joy, we are to be joyful in the Lord. You see, so this is something we find Old Testament, New Testament. Sometimes people get the idea, you know, the Old Testament, oh, that's very hard. You know, there's a hard God there, harsh God and everything else. But the reality is the same truths applied in the Old Testament as they do. In the New Testament, sacrifice is excluded, of course. Have a look in Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And verse 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Says, I've set my sights on God, and so my heart is glad, and I glory in rejoicing. You have a look a bit further across to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 11, the final verse, the encouragement there. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So again, we find this Old Testament, New Testament, don't we? God says you need to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Think about it. Is that my testimony? Do I rejoice? Do I rejoice? Do I rejoice, as it were? You go across to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. And again, there's many verses, and we'll just look at one more in the Psalms here. Psalm 68 and verse 3. The psalm writer says, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. All right, I think we made the point, haven't we? We're supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord. We're supposed to be finding joy in the Lord. And that's where it is. Notice it's a command, therefore it doesn't rely on our feelings or emotions. That's where happiness is. We look to be happy, we feel happy, we don't feel happy. Joy is independent of how we feel. It is a command, and therefore something we can do. In fact, we must choose to do. It's not just going to happen. We have to make a choice, deliberate choice, to rejoice in the Lord. We know that that doesn't come naturally to us. The natural bent of man is to be complaining, to be unthankful, to murmur, as we see the nation of Israel, a classic example of that in the Old Testament. So come back to 1 Thessalonians again. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. And I want us to see that this is going to be in any situation, all right, because it's at all times, it's to be under all circumstances. It's to be always rejoicing. And you and I know that there are times in our life, even as Christians, when we don't really feel like rejoicing, do we? Quite the opposite. There are times when I've said to my wife, I feel quite, I feel like there's a pall over me. You know what a pall is? You know, it's like a storm cloud just sitting there. I feel like there's times when, you know, oh my, there's almost depression that sits over the top of you. And that can happen sometimes. But even in that, well, it says rejoice. Rejoice, all right? Rejoice. So have a look, first of all, at Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. One of the things we'll notice here when we get to 2 Corinthians 6, but we go via Acts 20, that even in sorrow, we are to be joyful. Sorrow is something that we all experience one way or another at different times. Notice here in Acts chapter 20, Paul speaks of grieving. And first of all, in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul said it wasn't always excitement plus. There were times of tears because of the Jews. Remember the opposition that they kept constantly trying to get rid of Paul. And so there were times with the tears and temptations. You have a look in verse 37, same chapter. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him under the ship. And so there are times when we are grieving. There are times when we are sorrowful. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You have a look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Notice what Paul says here. Again, this is a time of sorrow for him. Verse 18. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul said that there, you know what it's like, you know where I'm coming from. There are times when I just weep about these situations. But notice what he says now in 2 Corinthians 6. In 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed. Notice next in verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Right? There's the point. He's down there speaking to the elders at Ephesus, and he said, you know how with tears, and when I left you, there was great sorrow because you weren't going to see me again. And he says to the Philippians, there were times when I wept over the situation. But notice what he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's the test, isn't it? See, happiness won't fit in there, will it? Happiness doesn't fit there because we're sorrowful, we're sad, we feel bad, we feel down, we feel all sorts of things. Happiness won't fit there, but joy can. Joy can still be there. He says again, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Have a look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus is dealing there with times when we face trials and suffering in the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are you going to do with that? The Lord tells us what to do. Verse 12, rejoice. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now let's see that in action. Acts chapter 5. All right, so how can you do that? You know, people are saying nasty things about me and mocking me and scoffing at me because I'm a Christian. And I just don't like that. I don't think that's very good. Well, have a look here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. There's been a problem that Peter and John and the others have been preaching, and the Pharisees and others are trying to stop them. And so in Gamaliel comes along and in this chapter here, and he gives them some advice and says, well, be careful, you know, that this is from God. We better not get in the road. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, notice, and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, what are you going to do in that situation? Well, let's see what they did. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They had learnt something from the Lord Jesus after all, hadn't they? The Lord said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. And that's what they were doing. They'd just been beaten. They'd been told they're not allowed to preach anymore. They knew if they were to preach, things were going to get worse. There's no question about that. And yet they went away rejoicing. All right, so again, these are examples when God commands us to rejoice always, at all times, under all circumstances, then we find examples of that here in the scriptures. What about when circumstances don't look so good? Have a look in the Old Testament in Habakkuk or Habakkuk, whichever way you want to say that. You got Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk or Habakkuk. If you got my Bible, the same, it's page 991. If you don't, you've got an index or whatever. But chapter 3, and notice verse 17 and 18 here. Verse 19, of course, too. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. If that happens, I give up. You know, what sort of God is that who allows all that? No, 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 that's what he said. What did he say in verse 18? Yet I will, notice the decision he made, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The prophet knew about what Paul was teaching, didn't he? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. Rejoice at all times. Rejoice under all circumstances, Mr. Prophet. Rejoice. And he said, I am. He said, I am. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer and my string instruments. Okay, so I've used those illustrations to show us that it is possible to rejoice in any and every situation of life. It's possible to do that. Now, of course, we say, well, how? How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, in simplicity, you do not focus on the circumstances and the events in your life. The cows aren't bringing forth the young. The olive trees are not bearing olives. That is not my focus. I've just been beaten. How can they do that to me? I'm not happy about that. These people will not listen to me. It causes me grief and even weep about it. But that's not my focus, you see. I'm mindful, I can't ignore those things, but that's not my focus. My focus is on the Lord and his salvation, you see. First of all, we'll notice about salvation. Luke chapter 10, probably most of us could at least quote part of this. Luke chapter 10, and we notice in verse 18, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice what he says the next verse. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The cows aren't carving, the olive trees aren't producing, but I'm rejoicing in my salvation that my name's written in heaven. You see? What about the cows? Yeah, we have to deal with the cows. What about we've got to deal with the olive trees. And what about those who won't listen? Yeah, we have to deal with that. But that's not my focus. My focus is on the fact that my name's written in heaven. Amen? My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have a look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking about our salvation. We are justified. The idea there in simplicity is now it's just as though we'd never sinned. When it comes to our eternal destiny, God sees us in Christ. We're justified. Notice he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are rejoicing in this hope of salvation which we have in Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope. And so he goes on down there, and you get down to verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He says our rejoicing is in the God of our salvation and in the fact that we are saved. They're excited about it. They're not concerned with the cows so much. They're not concerned so much about these other aspects. But what they are focusing on, that they're saved and they've got a home in heaven one day and they're going to be there for all eternity with the Lord. That's where their focus is. But even more than that, their focus is on the Lord. Not just about the gift of salvation, as wonderful and as marvellous as that is, and we're to rejoice in that. But more than that, we're to rejoice in the Lord himself. I like what Tozer said. He said this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. When we say the word God, what comes into our mind? What do we think about? He made a further comment in his book, Knowledge of the Whole. He said this, were we able to extract from any man a complete answer to the question, what comes into your mind when you think about God, we might predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. When we say God, what do we think about? What comes into our mind? What are we thinking about? Because remember, we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to rejoice in the God of our salvation. So who is this God that we are rejoicing in? You see? If we don't have a close walk with the Lord, if we don't have a close fellowship with God, then we're going to have a lot of trouble rejoicing in difficult circumstances. Very difficult. Because God's sort of a bit distant out there. And how can I rejoice in a God that's distant? How can I rejoice in a God who's sort of sometimes seems just a long way away? Hard to rejoice in a God like that. Our focus is on the Lord. You have a look in Philippians chapter 3, and you'll see the emphasis here is our focus being on the Lord himself. Philippians chapter 3, and by the way, Philippians has many, many references to joy, rejoicing, joyful, all those kind of things. It's one of those letters that Paul wrote, full of joy and exhortation to be joyful. And in chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. As long as you have a little bit of confidence in the flesh, you will struggle to rejoice in the Lord because you'll feel there's something you can still do. You see? So when we think about God, What do we think about? When we think about our relationship with God, what do we think about? We're to be rejoicing in God. We are to have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? God doesn't want us to think, well, I think I could do this. Well, I reckon I can do that. And I think I could do something else. God says, you cannot, you cannot, you cannot. But having said that, now go and do what I command you to do. You see, that's a bit of a paradox, correct? Philippians tells us this: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You say, that seems in conflict. No, it's in harmony. God works in me to will and do of his good pleasure, and then I work that out. I work out my salvation. But my confidence is not in my ability. My confidence is in the Lord, not in my flesh, not in my own abilities. And again, if we're going to have confidence in the flesh, if we think there's some little spark of good in us, we're going to struggle to rejoice in the Lord. You have a look in the same book, Philippians 4:4. Paul says, rejoice, how, where? In the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Always rejoice. At all times, under all circumstances, in the Lord. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, let me give you a suggestion. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Notice the opening verses. John is giving his testimony now. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John says, I'm going to tell you some things, and I'm telling you from personal experience about the Lord Jesus, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John says, I can tell you about the Lord Jesus. I heard him. I saw him. I listened to him. I handled him. He is real. He rose from the dead. He is the risen Savior. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And when you start to think about those things and focus on the Lord and who he is and what he's done, he said, that'll cause your joy to be full. Because you're rejoicing in the Lord. What a wonderful Savior. We sing the words, don't we? We've seen those words. What a change comes into our life. And oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. And I trust it's because our focus is on the Lord Jesus. We're finding our joy in him. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Why? Because of the wonderful Savior we have. You see? It's not because it makes me feel good. You ought to feel good if you're saved. Amen. But that's not where the joy comes from. The joy is in the Lord. You have a look in Psalm 18. We'll go back into the Psalms and see some thoughts here. Remember, we're talking about rejoicing in the Lord. We've spoken about rejoicing in his salvation, but we're to rejoice in the Lord. Notice what the psalm writer says in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Made a choice. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That is my God. I'm rejoicing in him. He's the place, he's the one I go to. When I've got trouble, I just flee to the Lord. He's my rock. He is the fortress. He's the deliverer. He's my strength. I can trust him. He's going to take care of me. You see? And when we're rejoicing in our God, because what a great God he is. You see, but if our relation is not with God, what it ought to be, then we're going to struggle to obey the command to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice always. You have a look in Psalm 46. Same idea the psalm writer gives us here in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When we talk about God, what do we think about? Someone who we can find safety and security, someone in whom we find help at any time of the night or day? Is that the God we see? Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Selah means stop and have a think about that. You should be able to rejoice in a God like that, surely. One who's our refuge and a strength, very present help in trouble. And it doesn't matter whether the earth's moved, whether the mountains are carried into the sea, whether the waters roar, whether the mountains shake. It does not matter, because my focus is on the Lord. And with my focus on Him, I can rejoice in the Lord. You have a look in Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and similar thoughts, obviously. He says in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever." You know, when we focus on our God and we get a hold of some of these truths, say, God is a good God. God is a merciful God. God's mercies endure forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endures forever. Think about that. God is merciful. That means He doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen? What a God. If God gave us what we deserve, you know where we'd all be tonight? In hell. That's where we'd be. But no, God is merciful and His mercy endures. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endures forever. I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is at my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. And on He goes there. What's He doing? He's rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Yeah, but what about the difficulties? He said, I don't care. The Lord's by my side. What about the opposition? I don't care. The Lord is with me. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my hiding place. He's my help. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. Lamentations tells us that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Think about God. He is a faithful God. The seasons, although they go up and down, tell us that God is a faithful God. That the sun comes up in the morning, goes down at night, and does the same next day, night, on and on. Why? Because God is a faithful God. God is faithful to us. He will provide a way of escape. And we could go on and on. What am I saying? Focus on the Lord. And then you'll be able to rejoice in the Lord. When you come to understand what a great God we have and what a great God we serve. Focus on things that are eternal. Have a look in 2 Corinthians. Too often we focus on the circumstances of life and the difficulties of life and all those kind of things, and they're real and they can't be just shrugged off as though they're not there. But we have to learn by the grace of God to focus on other things. Have a look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He goes on and says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says, my focus is not on the circumstances of life. He said, I'm focused on eternal verities or truths. What I'm going through now, they're light afflictions which are working for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why wouldn't he rejoice? Why wouldn't he sit there in the prison at midnight and sing praises to God? Because he wasn't looking at the fact that he was beaten and bleeding. He was looking at the fact that this was working for him a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This was giving him an opportunity to preach the gospel that he wouldn't have had otherwise. He's rejoicing in the Lord. You see? Rejoicing in the Lord. You say, how do you do that? You don't do it except by the grace of God. Because true joy is not natural, it is supernatural. You and I know, without God, there is no joy in life. There's momentary happiness, but there's no joy. And that's why you see the world out there, they're so busy, they're trying to hide the fact that there's a vacuum in their life. They're trying to be happy. They're busy. They're doing this, that, and the other thing, and on the list goes. They're bored. They're looking to be amused. They're looking for entertainment. And sadly, that same thing is seen in the lives of Christians. You know, well, we've got to have some entertainment. We've got to have fun. We've got to be amused. We've got to do all this. If your focus is on the Lord, you won't need all that. You see? Well, I just get bored sitting around. Your focus is not on the Lord, because he's not boring. Amen? There's no boredom in the Lord. It's an exciting walk with God when you're focused on him. It's not boring. You say, well, I get a bit bored. Your focus is not right. So how do you know? Because when you're focused on the Lord, life is not boring. It might be painful. It might cause us to weep sometimes. It might cause us to be sorrowful. It might cause the circumstance to be not too good, but we'll be joyful in the Lord. Amen. And that is not produced by me, by any special trick that I have. You know, the Bible speaks about the springs of living water. The hymn writer speaks of springs of living water. In John 4, the Lord Jesus spoke about to the woman at the well, and one of the hymn writers took that up and said, there's come by the well of living waters. And the Lord Jesus himself said in John 7:38, he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit of God who produces that joy in our lives. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We must choose, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. Lord, I'm going to focus on your great salvation. Lord, I'm not going to focus on all these other things. By your grace, I'm going to focus on these. Lord, I am yielding myself to you. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Yielded to God. And then the Spirit of God produces that joy. And it is wonderful. It is supernatural. It's not normal to sit in prison and praise God and rejoice. It's not normal when all your animals are dying and everything else is going wrong and you say, I'll just rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to joy in the Lord. I'm going to do that. How do you do that? By the grace of God and through the Spirit of God enabling us and those rivers of living water, the joy that comes out. And from then on, the only thing that'll hinder that will be unconfessed sin. It's the only thing that can hinder then that ongoing joy that comes with us. What did Paul say to the church there? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always, at all times, under all circumstances. In Philippians says, and again I say, rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are, our God and our Saviour.